your bags and get ready. Hitting the road with the best of friends, and you know that you're gonna rock steady. And gotta listen to your teacher when you're getting wasted by the beach again. You got Ballyhoo pumping in your stereo. This is the summer jam song, here we go. Say, jump out of line, start to unwind. Jump, jump. Before you gotta get back to the grind. And don't waste a minute of your summertime. Jump, jump. Sing it one more time.
And that's that.
And that's the song. Yo, everybody. I'm doing my little yodeling impressions. Yodeling, yee-hoo. Flig is back in the studio. He's sitting across from me. It's the Stroll Show. It's Sunday afternoon. It's a rainy Sunday.
It is. But what's up, guys?
It's sunny.
I'm coming in.
It's sunny in the studio because today we have Steve back after his journey into the deep. Maybe he could tell us about that in a minute. But yes, the Stroll Show. I'm the C, sitting across from me, of course.
This is the flow. I'm back, bitches. No, I'm back. So
yeah.
This is now. I got to get my feet back wet again, and not.
Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel like you need a minute? Do you need a little reassurance? You need a little pat on the ass?
No, I don't. Well, the pat on the ass. But maybe we can save that for later.
Okay. What about one of those like little show dog, like little like
a little ball lifts?
Little ball
just
lifts.
Like bloop. That no, I could do without that.
Remember when we just flipped through the channels and like. It was just on one day where just like dogs are just getting that junk just pulled.
That man, I've never seen a man more excited to like lift balls of a dog. He was just like, bloop, bloop, bloop. He's like, that's a good dog.
But he did it with such purpose.
Yeah.
Like he knew what he was feeling for down there.
Like if we did that, we would get arrested probably because it just seems illegal.
Arrested or highly frowned upon.
Yeah, he'd be like, why is that guy touching that balls, the dog's balls? I'm just like, please look away.
Speaking of balls, let's talk about scuba diving.
Oh, yeah.
but first, I'm excited for today's show.
Yeah, this is up the big C's alley right
now. Yeah, this is for real.
That's for real Williams.
Oh, nice, bro. I'll give you a high five for that one later. Yeah, so... Whatever. I'm a wrestling fan, okay? Maybe people don't know that. This is a music show, right? But I'm a pretty big wrestling fan.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know.
I didn't know that.
Oh, actually. You didn't know?
Boom, ba-da-da-da.
Flo is become more of a wrestling fan as the...
I know dudes.
He knows
I
the
know
dudes.
Dudes now.
He knows the dudes. And actually, today's episode was made possible by Flo's keen eagle eye.
Because yes, that is correct.
Walking the streets of Bay Ridge. Bay Ridge. Steve saw... Out of the corner of his little fliggity flow eye, he saw. What did you see, Steve?
Well, I was at the bar, Windy City in Bay Ridge. What's up, Windy City? Give them a free shout out for some reason that they don't need. And I was walking out of the bar watching some football games, and I'm coming out and I see this weird wrestling poster because I know sometimes they have wrestling events in the area, but it doesn't matter me seeing this thing. So I see this poster, and what looked to be some sort of cartoonized version of Ryback from WWE.
Mm-hmm. Now known as the big guy.
Now the big, I think it's like the big guy Ryback now,
yeah,
or something. Big,
or maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to go. We'll have to find out.
But he was the big guy back at, whatever. I'm not going to get into semantics.
That doesn't matter. This is, see, this, to me, I think they just give him one long name of the big guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The big guy Ryback.
The BGR.
The BGR Ryback.
Wait. So you saw the poster.
So I saw the poster, and I remember I sent you a picture, and I was like, is that Ryback? Because, you know, I know Ryback, but he has to say his name Ryback someplace on it.
Yeah.
But it was just like this weird, filtered, cartoony type poster, and I was like, oh shoot, to find out that this event hosted through WrestlePro is taking place next Saturday. Yep. October the 15th at St. Pat's Gym in Bay Ridge, which is like on 4th Avenue and 92nd Street, something like that.
That sounds right.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
sounds right.
Right around that area. Just Google St. Pat's Gym and you'll find it. And
8 p.m. bell time, by the way.
Yes, so you have time. You can go take your lady out to eat and then take her to a nice wrestling show.
And there's a 6 p.m. signing, so there's a signing happening at 6 p.m.
You can meet, they're selling tickets for to meet Ryback, the big guy.
Oh, really?
I think it's like $40. It's actually not that bad of a price.
Considering what his going rate used to be, probably, that's...
Yeah, I feel like you probably couldn't really get to Ryback back then, so now...
Well, people who don't know, Ryback was in the WWE back in four or five months ago, and then he didn't like how he was being booked. I don't know if our listeners out there know the ins and outs of the wrestling biz, but let me tell you, sometimes it's predetermined, okay?
Yeah, some things may be scripted, we're not sure.
But yeah, anyway, so today we're lucky enough to get one of the wrestlers that's going to be performing. I don't know what they say. He's gonna be wrestling. He's fucking gonna, Robbie E. Right?
Yeah, it's this was it. Kevin Matthews.
Kevin Matthews is
another Bay Ridge original. He's from Bay Ridge.
He actually is from Bay Ridge.
He is Bay Ridge. Yeah, that's a boy from WrestlePro was telling us.
Oh,
like,
really?
He's a Bay original.
Wow.
Just like Pizza Wagon.
Wow, now I'm even more excited.
Yeah, and so he's taking on Robbie E next week. So, you know, if you guys want to come down, check it out. Tickets on sale, WrestlePROonline.com.
8 p.m. bell time. I just want to say that again because I like saying that.
That sounds cool. It keeps sounding more and more badass every time. So we got the big boy Kevin coming on, and I'm excited. I mean, we're going to go next week to the event.
Yeah.
I've only gone to Raw a couple times, and that was, you know, sitting like 80 miles away at the Barclays Center.
I got to be honest, I've never been to an indie wrestling promotion before.
I have not.
But I'm really excited. I can only imagine that it's going to be legitimately insane. I can't, like, what is it? Because I've been to that school, right? It's St. Patrick's. What is it? It's a school, right?
Yeah, it's like an elementary school.
Okay, so
elementary.
What does the CYO stand for? CYO Sports.
I think it's an organization.
Children Youth Organization?
I think it's something just like that. Even though that's like an oxymoron, because it's just children youth. I don't know how you can get younger than children, unless you're a baby. Babies don't play sports.
I wouldn't think that you would have to, specify that a children is a youth. But anyway, so that's what the poster says. It says St. Patch CYO. But yeah, so anyway, so I'm excited. I really feel like this is going to be like a cool experience. And the fact that it's in Bay Ridge.
That's so perfect. I have to yell for that. That's how perfect it is.
Wrestling is in Bay Ridge, man. That's amazing. Like, once we saw that, we were like, you know what?
Our own bell time rang. Instantly.
Ding, ding. Just like Rocky did in the end. Oh, no, that was Apollo. Ring the bell, Apollo.
He's like, ding. And remember from Family Guy, they spoofed it too, and Cleveland's like, ding,
and
ding.
And they freeze into that oil painting at the end.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Oh, man. There was a Rocky marathon on, but I'm not going to get into that because I just, you know, I was like trying to unpack my stuff, like, because I just moved recently, as maybe some of our listeners might know.
Hopefully.
And we talked about it.
We gave our homage to our apartment and Nick, a roommate, and all the other bands. So I think if they don't know, you haven't been listening.
Now they know. But yeah, so... But yeah, so I was, there was a Rocky marathon on what was that channel?
Like TBS?
No, it was actually kind of surprising. It was that independent movie channel. What is it called?
Oh, IFC.
IFC. Yeah. Yeah. I literally just named it.
Like, the independent film channel.
What's that called? IFC? What's that called? IFC. Yeah, it was the Rocky movies. But they were doing it. They were doing a weird thing though, because it was like movies bad movies we love or something, and they were showing the Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Oh, really?
Of the movies, like in like Rocky 2 or 3 got like a fucking like 43 or something. Like,
what would Rocky 5 get? I feel like that's probably the best.
I didn't
like
get that.
one in five. You didn't get that far on the
Megan made me turn it off.
Oh, which one were you on?
It was on 3.
It was on 3. Okay.
The jump from 2 to 3 was kind of crazy.
Would you, when 2 came out, did people actually think Rockies would continue to be made into the 2010s?
But like that sequel culture didn't really totally exist back then. You know what I mean? There was sequels and stuff, but like there wasn't like these franchise movies like Rocky would become. You know what I mean? Like there was no like five. I guess like Star Wars was kind of like that, but even Star Wars wasn't originally supposed to be, and that came out this like a year after Rocky. Rocky was I think 76, and Star Wars was 77.
A lot of good movies.
Not to drop all this IMDb. Now I'm like, I'm just like IMDb's in my brain, bro. I love
that's
that.
Too
shit.
Much. It's too much. I'm getting word now that CYO stands for Catholic Youth Organization.
Catholic youth, not children youth.
Not children youth.
Well, that makes sense.
That doesn't. So the oxymoron has been lifted.
Our intel, thank you. Whoever our intel is on the outside,
I will not reveal my sources. Keep those close to the vest.
But so okay, so yeah, so back to the wrestling. We're excited to talk to Kevin Matthews. I don't even know what we're gonna ask this guy. I have so many questions I want to ask about wrestling. I want to ask about the Bay Ridge. I want to ask about the WrestlePro, and we're gonna ask them all. But I have a special treat for Steve. I didn't tell him about this until now.
Oh really?
Okay. As for our song this week.
Oh.
To play.
I actually have it on because I thought you were going to, I thought the Sambone sword drop was going to.
You know what? I blew the pooch on that one. I'm sorry.
It's on whenever you want to do it.
Okay. Well, I believe you know of the wrestler named, he's another, maybe not a Bay original, but he's a Brooklyn OG, the Brooklyn Brawler.
Okay. I feel like I've heard of him. I don't know much. I'm only hit my 2013 to 2016 wrestling.
He was like one of the greatest jobbers of all time, meaning.
And job?
No, bro. Jobbers like you're now they call him enhancement talent, right? Like that's like a guy that you basically he's booked to lose to make the other guy look good.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, Brooklyn Ball was like one of the OG, like one of the best at that. And I want to play you his theme song.
Oh, play! We're ready. This thing is live. All right, go.
So we got the Brooklyn Brawler theme song. We're gonna come back with Kevin Matthews in just a few minutes. So stay tuned. Your Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah. you mean everyone knew that you got to fade it? We got to fade it out. That was the Brooklyn Brawl. You know what? That's actually a very, it's a very like New York esque type like crime intro. Yeah. I feel like.
You know what it was called? You know what the song is called?
No.
The Hood.
Is it? That actually sounds like you're cruising through the hood, but not like a good hood. Like I'm going through like, you know.
But like I was saying, that's like that was like one of the like the original like. Back in the day when WWE first started writing the theme songs for their wrestlers, and like they had their own composer do it, because you know, years
not
before
everything
that
was like rappers and all this.
Well, yeah, but also
or corn or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but even earlier than that, like Oh. Big Kevin Matthews.
We're getting patched in. Hang on, guys. Pause. Hello? Kevin?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Kev? This is it's Paul and Steve from The Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. How you doing?
How's it going, man?
Doing good. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, Kevin?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure, man. Excited to talk to you. So, right off the bat, we heard a rumor that you're from Bay Ridge. Is that true? Or you've lived in Bay Ridge at some point?
Born and raised.
Really?
Born and raised. Yeah.
Wow.
I got kicked out of many schools in Bay Ridge.
What, high school or grammar school?
Everything.
Oh, shit. Wait.
Are you guys from Bay Ridge?
Yes. Born and raised as well.
I guarantee I probably went to schools that you guys went to. PS1, I'm going to rattle off a couple of names here. PS127, McKinley, PS104, St. Anselm, Fort Hamilton.
Wow. Yeah, I know every one of those schools. I didn't go to any of them, but I definitely know them.
Yeah,
that's insane.
We went to Severian, so kind
of
close.
I was only kicked out of McKinley, 104, and Fort Hamilton, though.
That's amazing. So what? Because how old were you when you got kicked out of your first school?
Well, I was in seventh grade.
So
PS104, however old you are in seventh grade. What are you, 11? I don't know.
I don't know. So what do you have to do to get kicked out at such a young age?
If you get suspended 3 times in one school year, you get kicked out. I got suspended 13 times. It's funny, because I used to make jokes. Like every time I got suspended, like a Kyle Rain, I was like 11 times suspension and I was 13 times suspension. And yeah, I was a problem child in school.
That's amazing. That's.
I mean, look, hey, man, you know your future was meant to be, you know, obviously something different, not so much school related. So, you know, as a kid, you know what you need to do.
And I always tell people too. I was like, dude, I was like, school doesn't dictate the person you become, contrary to what everyone says and stuff like that. I was like, come on, man. I know people that were straight A students in school with me, and they overdose on drugs, they beat their women, they're getting locked up left and right. I was like, I was a disaster in school. I was like, I've never been beat up. I never did drugs. You know, never beat women. I think I turned out all right. So, whatever. But this isn't a message to everyone saying, hey, get kicked out of school and suspended 13 times and you'll turn out okay.
No, but it's a good point. I mean, like, obviously you're so young at that age, like you don't know what you're doing. Like, you don't know the person you'll become. So much is going to happen to you in your life that's going to eventually change the course. So and speaking of that, what was the first time you realized, like, man, I think I want to try this wrestling thing out? What was that experience like?
Oh, no, ever since I was a little kid and stuff like that. And then when I was 14 years old, I was at, actually, you guys, since you're from the area, you guys probably would remember, what the hell is this place called? I think it was called Dial Electronics on 84th Street and 5th Avenue. It was a video game store. Does that sound familiar at all back in the day?
How far back in the day are we going?
Well, I was a teenager, so I'm 20 years.
Oh, yeah, because I'm 28 now, so maybe... Well,
you might have seen it, I don't know.
I might have seen it then, I don't know. I feel like I still didn't come to consciousness until I was like 20, I don't know.
It was between 83rd and 84th Street. It was a straight-up video game store. It was the only video game store other than Funko Land on 86th Street.
I remember Funko Land. I'm trying to think of Dial.
So then I was standing in front of that, that game store and stuff like that, and wrestler Low Life Louie, he was standing next to me, and he was watching, like, they were playing some, like, maybe Super Nintendo game on the TV, like, whatever, just to show everybody, like, that's walking by, the hot game out, and he started saying the names of the moves, and so I was like, oh, are you a wrestling fan? He's like, yeah, I'm a pro wrestler. I was like, oh, my God, I want to be a wrestler when I was 14. And then at the time, there was this place in Bed-Stuy called Arena Puerto Rico, actually a lot of people wound up coming out of there, but it was crazy. It was just a ring in a broken down church in Bed-Stuy, when Bed-Stuy's motto was Bed-Stuy, do or die, and it wasn't like full rich and ritzy what it is now. But, and then he's like, yeah, every Saturday we go and film there. We have a TV show on public access, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, that's cool. So he brought me down. I was meeting him at like 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and untrained, 14 years old. I actually made a DVD out of it. It's called The Worst of KM, and we did live commentary over these matches. It's just absolutely horrible. It's me with a horrible makeshift mask that I made with a sleeve of a T-shirt. I cut the sleeve of a T-shirt off, put holes in it, put it over my face and call myself Thunderbolt, and I'm like 106 pounds with no wrestling experience, landing on my head and my arms, and it's just horrible, horrible. So we were all untrained. Everyone across the board was untrained. Everyone was self-trained, if you want to even call it trained, and it's basically back. It was not basically. It was backyard wrestling in a ring, a broken down church. But it's funny too because in 1997, that like class, if you want to call it whatever, the group. I mean, the names that came out of there that went on to continue wrestling and stuff like that. The Christopher Street Connection, if you remember them, Monster Mac of the Hit Squad.
Oh yeah, definitely know him for sure.
Loki, Homicide.
Oh my God, Loki.
Louis, myself. Yeah, it's nuts. And then the group that came in after us and was filming some like public access thing, like again, backyard wrestling in a ring.
Yeah.
The people part of that group, Deranged, Amazing Red, the SATs, Quiet Storm, who's still over in Japan right now, Chris Devine, Brian XL, it's kind of wild, like that.
All came through that area in side. Wow, that's insane, man. Jeez. And like to me, like when we first heard about the WrestlePro coming to Bay Ridge, like that blew our mind because, you know, you don't see stuff like that come to Bay Ridge. You don't really see anything worth going to coming to Bay Ridge, period. Like there's no music venue, there's no entertainment really. Like there's the Alpine movie theater, that's as good as it gets. So you want to go see a cover band at whatever, you know, like, but when we saw that WrestlePro was coming. Yeah, and we were just like, and so like to hear that even in other parts of Brooklyn that were like back in the day, like run down, like having this amazing, like all these wrestlers come out of there, it's blowing my mind right now, for real.
Yeah, but when I see, if you want to see these, when you watch the CD, that will really blow your mind. You'll be laughing so hard, man. Such garbage.
You still have a copy of this VHS somewhere?
I sell it at shows.
Oh, you do? For real?
Well, first I made the Worst of KM, which is my early wrestling stuff, just in general, like early 2000s, and then we did live commentary over it, just shitting all over me. And then from there, when I posted that, Low Life Louie hit me up and said, "Hey, brother, I have the IWW footage." I was like, "No, you don't." He's like, "Yeah, I do." I was like, "I need all of it now." So then I came up with part two, KM Sucks, the prequel, where it was me sucking before I sucked. And it was, whoa. I didn't remember any of it, so watching it, doing commentary over it for the first time, me, this footage since 1997, I remembered none of it, and I was just blown away. So, yeah, but as far as WrestlePro and Bay Ridge, that's exactly why it's there, because my hometown, and it's just everything you said is why I wanted it there. There's nothing in the town. I want to build this town. It's my town. It's convenient. First street from the train station, right over the Verrazano Bridge. I was like, and it's a special part of me, you know. I'm tied into WrestlePro. It's my hometown, and I was like, dude, I really want to make this a success. And I mean, we ran under a different umbrella at that building over a year ago, and now when it was EWS, but now it's we did one WrestlePro show, that last one, and we brought Mr. Belding in. I mean, it wasn't as well advertised as this one is. This one, we put a lot of advertising, so hopefully the show does really well. I mean, we fly Barclays when W3 was here for those three shows. We poster the town. There's posters everywhere around the town. And then we have a full-page ad in, like, all of the Brooklyn magazines, all the Brooklyn newspapers, the Bay Ridge Courier, the Bay News, all of these things from Bay Ridge all the way to Marine Park. And, I mean, and that's in the paper right now, and it's in the paper all the way until whatever, next Thursday. So, I mean, we did everything on our end, and interviews and internet and yada yada yada. So we're really hoping this is a success, bringing in like Ryback and Santino and X-Pac, and like Brooklyn's a little bit of a tough animal though.
Yeah, man, that's why I respect the hell out of that, because no one even goes around and puts posters up anymore, you know, like.
Yeah, and that's how we found out about it too, was right. I saw a poster on I was on like 5th Avenue and 79th Street in Bay Ridge, so I was like, oh, look at that,
there's something to be said for that old school DIY. Yeah,
I'm going to pat my poster guy on the back.
Yeah, let him know it worked.
Sweet. Okay, good.
He hit the right spots. He hit the right spots.
He knew where to go in Bay Ridge, right near all the bars. He was perfect.
Perfect. If you guys saw it, hopefully everybody else did too. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because he went to the last show, the guy who postered, and he actually reached out to us, and he's like, hey, and he, same thing as you guys. He's like, I want to see this thing become a huge, because do me a favor, if you guys need any help firing any shows out, because I want more people there, because I don't know what we did in the last show. The building only holds, like, at maximum capacity, like 500 people or something like that. I think last time we have maybe half that, like 250 or whatever, somewhere around that.
That's still a good turnout, though.
It should have been more because I was like, dude, Mr. Belding's here. Like, when the hell does a celebrity come to Bay Ridge? You know, that should have been a big thing, and it kind of irked me a little. I was like, how is there only like 200 teams here? Like, this should be sold out and turn away crowd. And I said, because we run in Raleigh, the rec center holds like 2,000 people. And, I mean, WrestlePro gets easily filled the place with like 1,200, 1,300 people with no problem. Like, it's like, oh. But I'm noticing one thing, though. Brooklyn is a different crowd than Jersey.
Like, absolutely.
For some weird reason, only a handful of people from Jersey will travel to Brooklyn and vice versa. We literally need to build up Brooklyn as if it's a whole new thing from scratch and build up that crowd. And there's a lot of companies that ran in Brooklyn that, just kind of thinking about it, I think they burnt a lot of these people. Like ICWs and USA Pros from back in the day, and all these companies that used to run there, cancel shows, not refund fans. And I think it's a really bad, like, stink in fans' minds as far as, like, pre-buying tickets. Like, pre-sale is pretty good right now, though. But I think we really have to kind of spend time and invest time and fix the problems that occurred with all of these, like, shady companies that ran in Brooklyn and really, like, burnt fans out. So I think it's going to be a work in progress. I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to be the premier company in Brooklyn.
Yeah, no, I definitely, because you feel like Brooklyn, like, now is becoming this, like, hotspot for all, you know, all activity, music, and arts, and all this stuff. And I feel like people are so distracted that, you know, this is actually, like, the most perfect thing to happen right now. It's not the same, like, artist, you know, it's like, this is like art in a different form now.
It's something
know?
Different, yeah. And wrestling is absolutely an art form, in my opinion. That's why I love it so much and respect the hell out of what you guys do. And I want to ask, like, what do you think it is about Brooklyn that makes it so different? You think people are just, like, a little more stuck up? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of different people here now than there was even back 10, 20 years ago. Like, this wouldn't happen in, like, Williamsburg or Bushwick. There'd be no market for it here. But, like, someplace like Bay Ridge, that's, like, it just makes so much sense. I don't know. Like, what do you think about that?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's why it blew my mind. Like, the last one, I was like, maybe we just didn't promote enough. So then we went overboard this time, and now we could gauge it better this time. I just think people don't know. I think if more people actually knew that something was happening, then they would actually attend it. I don't know. It's like a puzzle that we're actually trying to still solve. Like, how do we crack the code of Brooklyn? Like, what the hell's going on? I mean, the fans are there. It's not like there's not wrestling fans. There's wrestling fans wherever you go. They're there. And I'm sure if they knew that this show was happening right by their house, and for $20 you have Ryback, X-Pac, Santino Marella, like, this craziness right at your doorstep, they would 100% go and tell their friends. So I just think it's a matter of people knowing and finding out and stuff like that. And you would almost think it would be a lot easier, you know, where everything's walkable and walking distance of Brooklyn, you're postering up everything. People are visually seeing these posters, opposed to New Jersey, where everything's spread out and you can't just poster anything because everyone's driving by and stuff. You would think Brooklyn would be easier as far as drawing a crowd than New Jersey, but it's not. It really isn't. And I literally think it has to do a combination of people not knowing and people just burnt out from previous companies and saying, like, yeah, I'll buy a ticket the day of. I'm not pre-ordering anything because every time I did that, like, all these other companies, and I've worked for all of them, so I know their backstories. Like, they burnt us. They didn't pay us back. They didn't refund our money, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I think it's a combination of everything. And, again, we're gonna fix that because even when we ran New Jersey years back under a different name, there was buildings and people we dealt with that other companies burned and they had a bad reputation. We had to rebuild it from scratch. And then, I mean, four-plus years later of running the Rahway Rec Center, we built up a loyal fan base over here in New Jersey. So, like, WrestlePro could literally announce, and they did. They said, hey, November 19th, right back in the Hardys, blah, blah, blah. Front row. Like, you're talking, like, within 24 hours, boom, 50 front rows, it's gone. Gone instantly. Second row's almost gone. Like, that's what happens. We built this up. So I want to do this exact same thing. And, again, like, I'm not going to give up. It's a project because Bay Ridge holds it's my town. My family lives on, you know, 80th Street. And my sister lives in Diker. My brother lives on 3rd Avenue.
Wow.
So, you know, my whole family's still there. So, and I'm actually, speaking of which, I totally forgot I'm supposed to go there at 5 o'clock today to have to my sister's with my whole family. Okay. That actually just reminded me. This interview reminded me I'm supposed to go to Brooklyn. So.
Well, I'm glad we could at least do that for you, Kevin.
Well, had a long night last night.
That's understandable. So Kevin,
we also plan. Next year, as far as Bay Ridge goes, I believe we have three more dates next year alone. It's either going to be three or four. I believe we're going to do maybe February, April, and October of next year. So, I mean, we plan because the building also, we can't run summertime, and there's only certain months that we're capable of running. But February is a hit or miss. It's my birthday month, but, I mean, last February we were fine. The year before that, it was blizzard galore, I believe. I mean, so February could be the decent weather or the worst of worst. So yeah. We'll see.
It's a tough month, but yeah, you had something, Steve?
Yeah, Kev, I wanted to backtrack. So you're talking about like wrestling in Do or Die Bed-Stuy over there. So how did you, like, from that first wrestling encounter you did, when you said you were like 14, 15, did you start like, so how did you continue on? Did you start getting like lessons and learning how to do some of the moves, or it was just kind of like all kind of off the cuff, kind of like on the job training?
No, I was there for like a couple of months and landing on my head and stuff like that, and then like I just left. I was like, it sucks. And, it was like just because I mean you're a kid and you're not trained. You don't even know how to bump. You're just like getting thrown on your head and stuff like that. And then I said, you know what, screw this. And then from that time, maybe a year and a half, two years lapse, whatever. And then I was looking at wrestling schools, and I was 16 at this point. It was November 1999. I found Johnny Rod's school. And then I told my mom, came down, and she signed a waiver for me, and my dad paid my $1,600 tuition. And I'm very outspoken about Johnny Rod's even to this day. I mean, it's almost, 17 years later, something like that, where I mean, it was a learning experience, but not in the way that wrestling school should be a learning experience. It was actually the negative learning experience.
Like an old school kind of like.
And I urge, you didn't learn it. If you joined the school, let's say you said, hey, well, I want to be wrestling, you join the school right now. It's the same thing as I was back then. This is exactly what would happen. You would go there, you would pay Johnny his tuition, and his office is on the other side. I don't know, I think they closed down temporarily, permanently, Gleason's gym. I don't know how it's working there now, but his office is on the other side of the ring. And there's like boxing rings in between the wrestling ring and his office. He sits in there, will not leave that office. That's why when he did an interview with someone recently, he's like, I'm out there 9 hours a day training these kids 4 days a week. I'm like, what crack? I'm like, smoking. Like, you liar. Dude, he doesn't even visit ringside once. He'll go straight to the office, and then he doesn't leave his office until he leaves the building. Like, and then if you could be a new kid like I was, I signed up and I was like, what should I do? He's like, go in the ring, go train. Nobody's in the ring. And I was the first one there. And, dude, and I remember I was like, anxious kid. I was like, oh, this is cool. I went in the ring. I brought the heavy bag in there, started dropping top rope elbows, like my first day there. And then I was a huge Benoit Mark. I don't know if that's a cool thing to say nowadays. But
hey, man.
This is before.
Yeah, yeah. Still a great wrestler.
Massive Christopher. I literally wrote into a magazine once. I was like, as a pen pal fan, like back in the day, I said, hey, any Ben, I still have the magazine, any Benoit, Chris Benoit fans or ECW fans, please write me. This was like in 96 or 97, I think 96. And then it was entitled Benoit Fan in Brooklyn. So I got to find that. That's kind of funny, though. I should screenshot that and put it online. I was like, it's a cool thing to put out there.
Yeah, put it on a shirt or something.
Yeah, that's right. Holy crap. It's funny.
Oh, my God.
And then, I went in, and then I was like, oh, I want to do Benoit's diving headbutt. And there's this big, heavy bag in the ring. And I do this swan dive headbutt off the top rope, and my head hits the bag, but my body goes down, like, so it, like, bends my head backwards, if you could follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, dude, like, I literally almost broke my neck in the ring, like, 100%. And I remember going into Johnny's office. And then I told him, I was like, oh my God, I just jumped on that heavy bag, and I think I like hurt my neck. And he's like, go in the ring. You cannot hang out in the office. Go train. Go.
Jesus.
Go. And I was like, what the hell? And then like two other guys came in there, and then they said, hey, we want to try something out if you don't mind. They wanted to picked me up on his shoulders, and the other one wanted to do the LOD clothesline where he flips me inside out off the other guy's shoulders. Oh, and keep in mind, this wasn't even a wrestling ring. This was a modified boxing ring that he turned into a wrestling ring. So the difference between a wrestling ring and a boxing ring, there's no give in a boxing ring. Zero,
yeah.
Zero. You can't bump. It's like a concrete floor.
Oh, God.
Given it. Yeah, and then they wanted to give me the LOD, Doomsday Device, where, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
On the shoulders, and the other one jumps off the top and flips you. And then I was like, no, I'm scared. Like, yeah. I'm on the guy's shoulder. I'm just saying, no. And then he's like, oh, come on, stop being such a wuss. And I refused to take it and stuff. Dude, this is my first day at training.
Jesus.
I don't even know how to fall or nothing. I don't even know how to bump.
How do you?
This is what's going on. I almost break my neck. These guys want to, like, flip me inside out off of someone's shoulders in a boxing ring. I'm like, what? It's madness. And Johnny doesn't give a crap. It's worse now than it is before. And then I came in the second day. There was a kid that started that day, and by default, I was now training this kid after one day of training and learning nothing. I had to train this kid. I was like, what the hell's going on? Why, I paid this guy $1,600 for what? And present day, he does the same thing, but he sits in his office, and I don't understand. I don't know if it's real gold, fake gold, or whatever, but everyone has the same exact story. He sits in his office, and he polishes gold all day, so I don't know if he does, like, some weird side gig, and again, he'll lure people in with all the names. Oh, Tommy Dreamer came from here, Devon Dudley, Hugh Morris, Damian Demento, and then he'll just start rattling off these names, the ECW guys and all this other stuff. And then you're like, oh my God, Matt Stryker.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I heard on, I think it was maybe Taz's podcast, or Taz was being interviewed on someone's.
Big Taz?
Yeah, Big Cass too. I'm just reading now that he got trained by him too some time. But I was talking about Taz.
No, let's throw that out the window. That whole he got trained by Johnny Rodman. Nobody, maybe in the late '80s and early '90s, when like he was physically capable of getting in the ring with guys like Dreamer and stuff like that. I can't speak on their behalf, like Taz and all these guys. Maybe Johnny did get in the ring with them. He probably did. Like, they all love him and credit him and stuff like that. I'm talking about '99 onward. From when I was there, like, I could speak upon that, and like all the guys that were there with me and stuff could say the same thing. I was signed to WWE when I was 21 or 22 or something like that. I didn't do it through Johnny's. I left Johnny's after 1 year, and then I went out there on the indies and I learned everything on my own and did it on my own. Stryker, even though Stryker says like Johnny Ross, because I guess it was good on a resume. Stryker didn't get signed through that. Stryker left Gleason's gym. And then he wound up getting signed because I don't know if you follow that whole thing where he did with the school.
Like, yeah. I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah,
and
for sure.
He did WWE, and then the school found out, and then he suspended him, and he made the news, and then WWE caught wind of that, like, oh, let's use this.
Yeah.
And brought him back. That wound up letting him get a job. And then Big Cass, like, what's it called? The way Big Cass got signed, and it sucks that he has to say, like, oh, Johnny Rods, he's great. Johnny never once. And Johnny could have got him signed in his snap finger. Johnny could call. It's so easy to like call if you're a trainer. Like, we have a school over here in Jersey. Pat Buck has a school over here. If a guy is 7 foot tall, jacked up, walked through that door, Pat can make a call to WWE right now. He's like, listen, I have this student here. He has a great look, 7 foot tall. You might want to take a look at him.
Yeah.
WWE in a flash with no training. The guy could have zero training. Like, yeah, give us his contact and stuff, and they'll look at him without question. They'll look at him. Johnny could have had him looked at instantly. The way Big Cass was signed. Stryker came down to that school while he was on the contract still, and Stryker saw him and started like, whoa, what's your deal and stuff? And then the guy's like, oh, well, I'm training here, blah, blah. He said, give me your contact info. Then Stryker, he wasn't an agent or a scout for the office, but he knows, like, if he could hand deliver them something like that, I mean, that makes him look good. And then he's like, hey, I have this guy and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, all right, what's his contact? Then they followed up on it, and that's how he got signed. Johnny had nothing to do with it, but now he's a big star. Guess what? The next kid that walks in that office, Big Cass, yeah, look at this picture on the wall.
Right.
Give me $3,000. That's exactly what he does, and it's wrong. But, when I was there, put it this way, there was a guy, he was 6'11", jacked up, gassed out of his face. His name was Zed, Z-E-D, and he was full-blown Russian. Picture like Vladimir Kozlov accent and the whole nine, but 7 foot tall, steroided-up monster. WWE would have signed him in less than a nanosecond if they saw this guy. They never knew he existed. Dude, they never knew he existed.
Wow.
And the reason, you're wondering, you're like, why wouldn't Johnny want to get his guy signed? And here's the reason. Because not only do you give him the $3,000 tuition, I paid $1,600, I got the sweet discount.
You got the half price.
I don't know why. But you also have to pay $75 a month as long as you're there. Basically, if you stay there for 10 years, it's there for every single month for the whole 10 years. Every month you have to pay $75 for the gym dues, which goes, you have to pay Bruce, the head of Gleason Gym. So in what that turns out to be is, that's Johnny's deal with him. You're paying his rent. Those gym dues are his rent. So that's why he doesn't want any of his guys to get signed, because they're paying his rent. It's the most insane thing. He tells you, don't do indies. You want to get signed, you stay here and train. It's a circus, and I urge anybody listening to this, no, if you're from Brooklyn, I know you migrate there because it makes sense. Don't go there. Don't go there, please. It's dead end. So people that make it out of there, it's either by accident or somebody else hooks them up, or they wake up one day and say, like, dude, what the hell are we doing? Like, we're going nowhere. If this guy there who still drinks the Kool-Aid that have been there for like 15 years, I'm like, dude, you guys never wrestled anywhere else, and you're like retiring in the school. Like, you don't think anything's wrong with this picture?
It's crazy, so, man. I obviously you're like very passionate about all this, and very passionate about, you know, wrestling business in general. Like, and you had some bad, maybe, you know, experiences in the beginning, but like, so what is it that keeps you coming back? What is it that keeps that passion so powerful to be a wrestler?
Well, I'm 17 years in now, so
yeah.
What's it called? 30, my young 33. I mean, I dumbed down my schedule big time compared to what it used to be. Before, I was wrestling for anybody and everybody, and now I'm like literally turning down far more shows than I'm doing. As I just basically work for Pat Buck's WrestlePro and Jeff Jarrett whenever he does the Global Force shows, and that should be kicking back in soon. And I mean, I just want to do things that are fun. Like, I'm not about chasing promoters around for money that are trying, like, you know, their show did bad, so they're trying to like get out the bathroom window, like, and you're grabbing him by his ankles and pulling him back in saying, give me my money, and, you know, not doing those things anymore. I just like doing anything that's fun. If it's not fun, I'm not going to do it. So as far as WrestlePro, Global Force Wrestling, stuff like that, there's a couple of companies here and there. Fibro Wrestling every now and then, whenever they run, that's fun. But I won't do anything. I'd rather sit at home and watch Netflix or South Park or something like that than in my house. My passion's always there and stuff like that. I mean, wrestling's always going to be with me one way or another. Like 2 days a week, I'm over at the school helping out the students over at the WrestlePro School in New Jersey. And I don't know. It's just, and now I want to see the Brooklyn thing kick off. The New Jersey shows are just fun. It's just, especially what we have going with WrestlePro. Everyone says family. It's like a big family. No, WrestlePro is legitimately a big family. Like everyone has each other's back, and it's like a sweet little hangout. Just good crew of guys and girls, and everyone, it's just a big team, and it's fun to be around. Like all these other companies that will contact me, like, hey, do you want to do a show? I'm like, as soon as I just see the message, like, hey, what's your booking fee? Like, it just puts a pit in my stomach, and I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do your show, and I don't know nothing about their show. It's just so weird. But then when a WrestlePro show, like, there's a date announced, I get all, like, fuzzy. I'm like, this is awesome. This is so cool, and I don't know. It's just, but outside of the select few, I don't have a desire to do anybody else. Like, I don't have a desire to go work for WWE ever again, and I don't know. That wasn't a good experience overall in general.
Yeah, I didn't want to go down that path. I didn't know if that was like a touchy thing. I know
that's not a sore spot at all. No.
But I know you were in whatever it was back in developmental, whatever they call it, or like you were had like
it was
a
Deep South Wrestling.
Yeah, that was before the NXT bullshit and all that stuff, which now they just like totally.
Well, I would say Deep South was the bullshit, and NXT is you know, the shining light. NXT blows my mind. That's their developmental system. That's unreal compared to what we went through.
But it's the it's like kind of like the whoring out of the indie scene. Like the WWE took the indie ideals and all the juice that indie had, that the indie promotions had, the top indie stars for all over the world. They just took them, and then they just made this thing that people believe is like, oh, it's like indie, but it's big production. Like, but it's not. It's like it's WWE's hoard out version of it.
Yeah, I mean, because with the power that Triple H now has, I mean, him and Vince are always going to be on different planets. Like, Vince is always going to migrate to the Braun Strowmans and the Canes and the Big Shows and people like that. Where Triple H has more of a grip on reality, that the times are changing, and people don't want to see these 8-foot attractions anymore. People, I mean, the fans are accustomed to like the pro wrestling gorilla and Ring of Honor style, and they want to chant holy shit and this is awesome and yada 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 and stuff like that. So, I mean, Triple H has more of a grip, and if you watch, I mean, from NXT, you can't say he was wrong. NXT to the matches on Raw, when have you ever, like, we're getting spoiled now because, like, when you mix and match any of these, like, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, when you mix and match all these kind of guys and you're getting these kind of matches, Finn Balor's, and they keep bringing up more and more people of that level, and then you're like, holy crap, it's like five-star match after five-star after five-star after five-star.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap, like, Triple H is literally changing the face of WWE. I mean, the diehard wrestling fans aren't surprised by any of this because they're surprised they're seeing it on WWE, but as far as, like, they're used to it, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and stuff, but now you're actually getting this on WWE. It's like, it's pretty surreal. I mean, right now, what, Kevin Owens is one champion, and who's the other one?
I believe AJ Styles is the champion.
AJ Styles, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it is. Yeah, AJ Styles. AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion right now. It's surreal. And Kevin, old school Kevin Steen, is is the one champion. AJ Styles is the other. Dude, like, imagine 5 years ago, it's like, dude, WWE's going to have a split brand, and Kevin Steen's going to be a champion, and AJ Styles, I'll bet you $10,000. I would have taken that bet. I'd be like, bro, never.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, who was the champion, like, not even 10 years ago? It was probably, like, Triple H again, like, or something. It was, like, still Triple H,
yeah,
or, like...
Yeah. Or Cena or something like that.
Yeah, but, Cena always, yeah.
AJ Styles is a guy that you would say, like, dude, I mean, AJ Styles is a small guy, and it's like, dude, if AJ Styles ever goes to WWE, like, they would never utilize him to his full potential, and they have utilized AJ Styles to his full potential and beyond. They understand how great and valuable he is.
Yeah.
And AJ, if I'm not mistaken, is like 38 or 39 or something.
Yeah.
And
that old?
I mean,
yeah,
the last
he's
one,
old.
The last ones left is my buddy Kenny Omega, Jay Lethal, and the Young Bucks. Like, those are the last, like, really four super-duper hot ones that can light NXT on fire.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's crazy, and they're bringing in all of these guys, like Tony Nese, buddy that I wrestled a bunch of times. Like, he's doing Raw. They keep bringing him back, and, I mean, it's unbelievable. A lot of these guys don't even have contracts. They're bringing them there. The Cruiserweight guys, some are like a pay-per-appearance deal.
Wow.
The whole game has changed so drastically.
So true,
and,
man.
I think it's for the better. A lot of people are getting more opportunities. I mean, I don't know.
It keeps it fresh because I'm more of a new wrestling fan. Like, last couple of years hanging out with Paul. And like a couple years ago, you didn't see all these NXT guys come up. I didn't even really know much about NXT. And now, all of a sudden, like, all these guys are coming up, and they're instantly contenders. And that's amazing because it's like they have these, like, professional level guys just ready to go at, like, you know, at a drop of a hat. Like, we need a,
yeah, they don't even have to train anybody. They come in fully ready to go, and it's just like, here's a package superstar. Here you go, you know, like, and they just put the money behind them and shoot the rocket to the sky, and that's it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and without being there, without knowing, like, exactly what's in the mindset of, like, a Vince McMahon or something like that, I'm curious to know if he's, like holding his head saying, what the hell's happening to my company, or if he's, like, endorsing all of these small indie guys just excelling as his new main event guys. Because, again, you're talking about the guy who's all about, like, he goes back to the Hogan face-to-face with Andre, larger-than-life attraction. I mean, once upon a time, they said, like, Bret Hart was too small to be, like, world champion.
Yeah.
And now you have AJ Styles as world champion. You know what I mean? You have Finn Balor, who was the world champion, actually.
Yeah, totally. You know,
Finn Balor probably weighs less than AJ.
And on top of that, he's European. He's not even American, which you would never think Vince would be okay with that, you know?
I mean, it's just, like, everything's changing and stuff like that. But, I mean, saving grace is, you know, at least when it's Vince's time to go, I mean, you kind of already have an idea of where the company is going to head towards. It's going to be the same thing it is now, minus Big Show, Kane, and Mark Henry, basically.
Yeah. So. And maybe Shinsuke Nakamura will be the champion at one point. Imagine that.
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah, Nakamura. Yeah, Nakamura already made history. Like, WWE, under the full Vince banner, has failed with every Japanese guy, minus maybe, they did a little bit with Taka Michinoku back in the day, but and Tajiri, but he was already made in ECW, so he came over with that buzz already.
Right.
Buzz was, wow, that was weird. I think Nakamura, I think he's going to make history, which is kind of funny because my buddy Kenny Omega made history in Japan, being the first non-Japanese guy to win the G1 Climax tournament. And now Nakamura is going to make history in the States. Like, he'll be the first ever, 100% the first ever Japanese guy to win the WWE Championship on whatever brand he goes on. That's a given, 100%.
Oh,
given.
For sure. They're
he's going to do it, which is, yeah. He's so charismatic. He's so, so entertaining.
But Kevin, not to cut you off, we're running out of time, and I want to ask you like another final question. We're talking about all these great matches that WWE is putting on. There's great matches that are going on at WrestlePro next week, and you are wrestling Robbie E.
Wrestling Robbie E. Yes.
Now, okay.
17 years, my first time wrestling him.
Really? Wow. So, like, I don't know if I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you had to give me like the promo, you had to cut me the promo of what you're gonna do to fucking Robbie E. come next Saturday. What might that be?
What I'm gonna do to Robbie E. Robbie E. Listen, bro. Just like the Jersey Shore, your gimmick is old, tired. Nobody cares. Nobody fist pumps no more. Nobody has blowouts no more. And nobody wants to see you no more. So I'm going to do everybody a favor. And just like the show, I'm going to officially cancel Robbie E. on October 15th in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, baby.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks so much, man. We'll probably catch you next week at the show then.
All right. No problem.
And I'm buying that DVD.
Come check out the show, WrestleProOnline.com, and all that other good stuff. Ryback vs. Dan Moff, Xbox in Action, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So please, everyone locally, come by, come check it out.
Awesome. Kevin, thanks so much. Enjoy your dinner in Bay Ridge.
I will. Thank you, guys.
And best of the family as well. Best of the family.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care,
man. Bye.
What a guy.
Kevin Matthews, everybody.
Woo, that was good.
True Bay original. We had to go a little long just because I think we need to take a little break. I'm going to play a quick song, and then we'll come back. We'll do housekeeping, and then
we'll housekeep, and then we'll get to stepping.
We'll get to stepping. Yeah. So this song is actually it's from our guest for next week. Another Manic Cat Records band. Our buddy Pete hooked us up with this. This band called Wired for Havoc. And the song is called Patience from their previous album. They got a new album coming out that we will be talking about next week.
We'll be breaking that into the stratosphere because that's coming out, I think, next week.
Yeah, we'll be back after this, do a little housekeeping, try to make sense of Kevin Matthews and hear a little bit of Scuba Steve's stories.
Oh, yeah, we got. Let's do this. Let's do this. We're giving you guys a little preview. That's a little tease.
Wired for Havoc.
Wired for Havoc, because we ran a little long.
That's next week's guest, by the way.
So that is next week's guest. Next week, 12 noon here right on Radio Free Brooklyn Stroll Show. And I got a little read for you guys. I must announce. So as you guys may or may not know, we've been kind of like documenting the process and everything. But upstairs now, we finally have up and running new record store called Secondhand Records. So, get ready to dance with Radio Free Brooklyn's newest partner, Secondhand Records NYC. It's the newest addition to our RSB studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Keep your party going with a collection of new and old 45s, LPs, 12-inch singles at great Bushwick-friendly prices. Find your favorite vinyl, dance hits from every generation. Funk to house, jazz to techno, and all the beats in between.
All those beats.
If you can dance to it, Secondhand Records NYC sells it. Visit the shop to buy, sell, and trade your favorite 7 days a week from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Or shop anytime online at www.secondhandrecordsnyc.com. That's secondhandrecords.com. or nyc.com. Now located at the new Radio Free Brooklyn studios at 1345
DeKalb
Avenue.
Or DeKalb.
Right near Central Avenue M stop in Bushwick. And while you're here, listen to some of your greatest music shows on Radio Free Brooklyn. So we got that going on. And it's pretty
that's
sweet.
That's a lengthy read.
That was a lengthy read. That's more than I read for like summer vacation when I was going back to school the next year. But
this event warrants that much text. That
yes,
much
that's a lot of text, and it's kind of very like the lighting is not so good, so it's kind of hard to like gaze upon a microphone and underneath it too.
You did it, man. You did it.
So you know, buy, sell, trade records right here, Secondhand Records NYC.
Let's do a little housekeeping. All right, so
we're just like, that's that.
All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about, while we can, I'll just give a little brief synopsis of your scuba session.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give it to you
in like three sentences. It was four dives, and every dive we had to do certain skills on the water. So either be like, you take off your like pack with like the air oxygen on it, breathe without oxygen, like when you lose the mouthpiece and stuff underwater, removing goggles, all this like crazy stuff underwater, ascending, descending from the water. So we did all that stuff about 25 feet. And then we did like an actual dive because we were in Pennsylvania at this place called Dutch Springs. And they have like sunken boats, buses, all this like crazy shit on the water. And we got to swim down to about like 50 feet and we got to go see like a school bus. And then we swam across because it's kind of like an old quarry. So there's like all this, we got to swim against this like big ass wall too. It was a surreal thing. It didn't feel real. Like you feel like this. It's like this false sense of security because you can breathe in the water and you're just like, oh, okay.
Was it cold? Were you like,
I was frozen?
It wasn't that cold because I had two wetsuits on. I had two.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the water was like maybe 65, 70 degrees, which is still cold. But the deeper you go, the colder it gets and you can feel that temperature change so drastically. But I had a hood on, I had gloves, I had my little boots. I was, the only thing exposed was my cheeks, basically. So I was pretty warm.
That's good. That's good.
So that was that. That was that. Now I'm certified. So if anyone wants to go scuba diving with me, hit me up on Facebook.
You got so many licenses and certifications in your wallet now.
I know. I'm still waiting for this card to come in the mail. So I got that coming.
Can't wait to see it. We'll post it on our thing. I also got there's an infamous picture of Steve in the wetsuit that I think he needs to share with us.
Yeah, I was going to do it. But then I was like, if I die, this will be the last picture people see of me. And I didn't want that to be the one.
Well, on that note, thanks everybody for joining us. Thank you to Kevin Matthews.
WrestlePro.
Thank you to WrestlePro.
Thank you so much. Next week, October 15th. St. Pat's Gym, CYO, Catholic Youth Organization. We learned that. Kev is going up against Robbie E. Apparently,
Ryback's going to be there. Santino Marella. Everybody knows X-Pac for sure. He'll be there. And we'll be there, too. There's a signing going on at 6 p.m. I mean, we won't be signing anything, but we can. If you see us, we'll sign.
We got pins. I'll bring the pins. We still got some left. And we'll bring the funk, just like Secondhand Records upstairs, NYC.
Well done, sir. And of course,
Kev got me so excited right now. I'm ready to go on
it's
this.
Like you cut your own promo, yeah. But yeah, so yeah, Vinny, where are you, Vinny?
Vinny, you up?